Grab your Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, as we continue our theme, The Ways of the Lord. It is such an honor and a privilege for you and me to come into the house of God and hear what the Word says to us. It is the Word of God that should be the foundation of all that we do. I am grateful that God has called me to preach and teach the fantastic, incredible ways of the Lord, and in them I take delight. I love when we come together to study the Word of God, and we can talk about what the Bible says and how it applies to our lives. Whether that be at men's ministry or Sunday night or Sunday school or Wednesday night, it is incredible when we come together and we're each able to give input and we study together and we grow together and we hear the Word of God and we take delight in it. We are so blessed to have such access to the Word of God. You and I, we have incredible access to the Word of God, whether it's our Bibles with our multiple translations, whether it's our apps that we can get on our phone. There are free apps, paid apps, this app, that app. We have so much access to the Word of God. As we look at the Old Testament, we can see the difference that the Word of God made when it came to the people following the ways of the Lord. When the Word of God was taught, the people followed the ways of the Lord. When the Word of God was not taught, bad things tended to happen. And so today, as we continue our study on the way of the Lord, we will see how one king took delight in the ways of the Lord and how the Lord established his rule and was with him. I hope and pray that we as a church will always delight in the ways of the Lord and see the importance of teaching and hearing the truth that comes from His Word. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, beginning with verse 3. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not according to the acts of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor in abundance, and his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah. Also, in the third year of his reign, he sent his leaders, Ben-Hael, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathanael, and Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites, Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Zebadiah, Ashel, Shemaroth, Jehu, Nathan, Adonijah, Tobijah, and Tobit-Adjani. And just for a quick reference, anytime you read lots of names, read them fast and people think you know how to pronounce them. The Levites with him, and so also with the Levites, he sent the priest Elishama and Jehoram. So they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah, so they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. Let's pray. Lord, we do just thank you for this day. We thank you for your incredible grace, love, and mercy. We thank you for the kings of Judah that did follow after you and did seek to teach your ways. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be like that, that we would seek you, that we would follow you, that we would walk in your ways, and that we would take delight in them. Lord, I pray now that I would sit down and that you would stand up, and I pray that you would move as only you can. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. So as we begin, the first thing that we see is that Jehoshaphat was established in the Lord. It says, now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David, did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father, and walked in his commandments and not according to the acts of Israel. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor and abundance. Then we bounce down to verse 10, and the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah, so they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is a descendant of David who became king in Judah in place of his father Asa. Now, for the most part, Asa was a good king, and Asa did a lot to remove the ways of the ways of the world. But at the end of his reign, he wasn't as good as in the earlier years. And so by this time, the kingdom has been split into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. If we remember a little bit of our Jewish history, David's son Solomon reigned after him, and then Rehoboam was the next king. And under the rule and reign of Rehoboam, the kingdom split. Most of the tribes became the northern kingdom, and they followed after someone else. And after that, they never had another good king. Every single king of the northern kingdom was wicked and evil and worshiped idols. The southern kingdom stayed loyal to David. Now, in the southern kingdom, it went back and forth. There would be a good king who would follow after the Lord. There would be a bad king that did not follow after the Lord. And what was interesting is, based on how the king led, the people followed. And this really helps us to see the importance of leaders and quality leaders, because whatever the king did, the people had a tendency to follow. And so we see here that Jehoshaphat was a good king. He walked in the ways of David. The kings were often compared to David. When you read through, it'll say he did not do as his father David did, or he did do as his father David did. So David, in a sense, was the standard. Now, as we look at the life of David, we know that David was not perfect. We know that David did some things that he should not have done, and those things cost him. But the one thing that we do see from David is that when he sinned against God, when he did those wicked things, he was well known for his repentance. When he realized what he had done wrong, he asked for forgiveness, and he repented of his sin. And so the writer makes a positive statement. We don't know who wrote Chronicles, but whoever wrote Chronicles makes a positive statement about Jehoshaphat by saying he walked in the ways of his father David. One commentary says this: the chronicler pays Jehoshaphat one of the highest compliments possible. He compares his commitment to God to that of King David. Because again, when we're one of the first instances we're introduced to David is the story of David and Goliath. And when David comes in on the scene, he says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that thinks he can defy the armies of the living God?" And so David shows up on the scene mentioning God. When Saul is risking his life and David has the opportunity to kill Saul, he says, "Nope, I'm not taking the kingdom by force. I'm going to let God give it to me." And it really helps us to see the faith and the trust that he had in God. Well, unlike many of the other kings, Jehoshaphat did not seek after Baal. Now, we know that Baal was the lord of the Canaanite religion. He was the storm god, and he was believed to be the god that provided fertility. And so a lot of the Israelite kings would follow after Baal, which is why he's mentioned specifically here, but Jehoshaphat refused. He was not going to follow after Baal, and it's interesting what it says, because it says he did not follow after like the kings of Israel. So the writer also puts the kings of Israel under the bus, and how there was never another good king to rule and reign after Solomon went crazy at the end of his reign, when he started to worship other gods and other idols. Jehoshaphat was a king devoted to following after the Lord and walking in his ways. And so he sought God and followed after him. The king would set the stage for the people As I said earlier, often if the king followed after the Lord, the people would also. However, if the king worshipped other gods, then the people would fall in line and worship other gods. And even if the king did follow after God, but if the high places were left up and the other idols were there around, people still had a tendency to follow after them instead of worshiping the one true God. Many kings would lead the people to follow after Baal and other gods of the nations around them. This was especially true of the southern kingdom. And this would eventually lead to the captivity of the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Eventually, God would pour his wrath out on his people. They would be led into captivity because of their worship of other gods. This was not the case with Jehoshaphat. His heart was set to follow after God and walk in his commandments. I love what it says here in verse 4. But sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments and not according to the acts of Israel. So what we see here is that he sought God and walked in his commandments. Because we can often seek God and then not walk in his commandments. You know, we can seek God and see what his word has to say. Oh, I'm going to read the Bible and see what it has to say, but I'm not going to do it. Or we'll seek out God and be like, oh, I really like this, so I'm going to do this, but I don't like what it says here, so we're going to have to try to make something up for that. But what we see here is Jehoshaphat not only sought the commands of God, but he walked in them. He lived them out. He did them. Not only did he hear, but he heeded. And that's so important for us. And so I want to ask us today, what about us? Do we have our hearts set to walk according to the commands of God? Are we seeking God with all that we are and walking in his commandments? Do we seek to follow after him, or are we following after the ways of the world? Do we look the same in church as we do out of church? Do we act the same in this building as we do out of this building? Because here's the truth of the nature. You should be the same person in here that you are at your job and that you are at home. And if you would be ashamed for us to know how you act at work and how you act at home, then we need to have a talk about your Christian relationship with God. Because integrity, as we talk about, is who you are when no one else is looking. And if you wouldn't do it in church, you shouldn't do it out of church. Again, it always cracks me up when I hear a parent or a grandparent, you shouldn't lie in church. And I always look at them and say, so it's okay for them to lie out of church? Well, no. Because here's the thing. You don't go to church, you are the church. We got to remember that we are the church. The church is the people of God. The church is the body of Christ. The church is living and breathing and moving. And everywhere we go, everywhere we are, we represent Jesus Christ. So our actions at home, our actions at work, our actions in the grocery store are a direct reflection of our relationship with God. And sometimes my actions don't line up because we're human. We make mistakes, we mess up. But what we see here is we see that Jehoshaphat sought God and he wanted to follow God. And so he is blessed by God. And this is incredible. When we choose to follow God, when we choose to walk in his ways, because again, none of us are perfect, but we should do the best that we can. Because we know David wasn't perfect, but he was still a man blessed by God and a man after God's own heart. But there was also consequences for his actions. But as we look here at Jehoshaphat, we see that he followed the ways of God. He sought God. He walked in the ways of God. And the text tells us that he is blessed by God because of it. It says the Lord established him. So first, we see that God established the kingdom in his hand. Second, we see that gifts are brought to him and he has tremendous honor. Third, we see that he has peace, for the other nations did not make war against him. One of the greatest things for a king in that day and age in society was peace from war. To not have to go out and fight. And so these are some great blessings of God. How would you like to be established, have riches and honor, and be at peace? Anybody else in here love to have that? That's what Jehoshaphat got. Why? Because he sought God, He walked in the ways of the Lord and he followed after him. He kept God at the forefront. And this is what's amazing, because how quickly can riches change who we are? How quickly can power change who we are? Somebody can be very nice and kind until they get power, and then they become mean and bossy, and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And that doesn't happen with Jehoshaphat. He receives riches and honor, but he still keeps God at the forefront. He still chooses to follow after God. He still chooses to be the king that God would have him to be. God gave him wealth and honor because he walked in the ways of the Lord. Kings were to be examples for the people and to lead them to follow after the Lord. It was up to the king to follow after the Lord. It was up to the king to lead the people to be who they were to be. And as we continue, we see that Jehoshaphat not only walked in the ways of the Lord, Jehoshaphat not only sought the ways of the Lord, but Jehoshaphat took delight in the ways of the Lord. And this is such a beautiful verse, as we see in verse 6. And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judea. And in the third year of his reign, he sent out leaders, Levites, and priests to teach the people. And you'll see that word teach taught three times, showing the importance of what he is doing. So Jehoshaphat took delight in the laws of the Lord. His heart took delight. The word delight means high or exalted. Jehoshaphat exalted or put on high, not himself, but the ways of the Lord. He took pride in the ways of God. The ways of the Lord are incredible. His word is fantastic, and it is a gift that has been given to us. Jehoshaphat took so much pride in the ways of the Lord that he sent qualified individuals out to teach the ways of the Lord to the people. Those he sent took the law and taught it throughout the cities. You and I should take great delight in the ways of the Lord. It was the way of the Lord to send Jesus to take our place on the cross and offer us freedom from our sins. It was God who sent his son Jesus to die on the cross so that you and I could receive the precious blood that was shed and be made right with holy God. It was the ways of the Lord to make a way for us to come back to him after Adam sinned in the garden. Because our sin separates us from God, God in his great love sent Jesus to die on the cross. He died on the cross. He shed his precious blood. Here in just a little bit, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, which is a reminder of the blood that was shed for us and the body that was broken for us. And that was a part of the way of the Lord. It was always God's plan to send Jesus. It is the ways of the Lord that would send the Holy Spirit to those who give their heart and their life to Christ. You and I have the Holy Spirit of Holy God living in us, breathing on us, leading us, guiding us, and directing us, because that was the way of the Lord to do so. We have everything that we need for life and godliness because of the ways of the Lord. And it's the ways of the Lord that will one day send King Jesus to come back down to this earth and put everything in order, and one day take us up out of this earth, free of pain, free of suffering, free of tears, free of hurt, where we will one day be with Jesus for all eternity. And that is the ways of the Lord. And in those ways, we should delight. Every single one of us should be thankful today because of the ways of the Lord. Because if it wasn't for the ways of the Lord, we'd be dead in a ditch somewhere doing who knows what with who knows who. Without the ways of the Lord, we would never have an opportunity to be made right with God and enter into heaven. Without the ways of the Lord, we would be condemned to an eternity in hell, a place that we don't like to talk about, but it's a very real place, and it is reserved for those who reject the truth of Jesus. Praise be to God, we have the ways of the Lord. And you and I should take delight in them. Our hearts should take delight in the ways of the Lord. And so Jehoshaphat took delight in the ways of the Lord. And then he removed the high places. He didn't just delight in the ways of the Lord, but he removed obstacles so that the people would not worship other God. Sometimes we need to remove the obstacles. The alcoholic should not have alcohol lying around. The one addicted to pornography should not have unchecked access to internet. We should not put ourselves in positions to sin. The alcoholic shouldn't go to a bar. That's just common sense. But as we think about that, he removed the high places. He removed the symbols of temptation. He got rid of them. Because as long as they were there, the people were going to worship them. And what's interesting is Asa, his dad, had gotten rid of the idols, but they popped back up and the people were following him again. So at some point in time in Asa's reign, the people put back up the idols and started following them again. So Jehoshaphat comes along and says, uh-uh, and he removes them. He gets rid of them. He removes them. And so the other thing that we got to understand is by simply removing the idols isn't going to fix anything. We also need to be taught the truth. So he removes the idols, and then he sends people to teach him the truth about God. Because it's one thing to remove the obstacle. It's one thing to remove the idol. But now we need to... Here's the thing, guys. We were created to worship. And every single one of us is going to worship something. And if you think that, well, some people don't worship, I'm going to tell you they do. Because I lived in Wisconsin for 2 years. And they some crazy knuckleheads. It got cold up there. I'm telling you, it got cold. There was a week where the warmest it got was negative 12. And that was without the windshield. But they some crazy knuckleheads that you would see them on a Sunday at the Green Bay Packer game without shirts on in the freezing cold with their chest painted gold and green. That's worship. But they're putting that worship in the wrong place. They're worshiping a team. I can't come to church because it's raining, but I'm going to go sit in the freezing cold shirtless and watch a football game. I love it, people. I'm not coming to church today. It's raining. Did you go to work in rain? Well, yeah. Okay. Whatever. And so, not only did he need to remove the obstacles, but he needed to replace it with the truth. He needed to replace it with the Word of God. So he sends nobles, Levites, and priests, qualified individuals to teach the truth of the law of God. He made sure that the Word of God was taught. And so Jehoshaphat loved God's Word so much that he wanted others to know what it had to say. This should be our passion as well. We should love the Word of God to the point that we cannot keep it to ourselves. I absolutely love to teach and talk about the Word of God. That's why I tell people, if you have a Bible question, text me. If you can't make it to one of our Bible studies that we have during the week, let me know and I'll set up a time to come meet you somewhere, or you can meet me here. If you want to talk about the Bible, we're going to talk about the Bible. I love to talk about the Word of God. I love to teach it. I love to preach it. And it is fantastic. The ways of the Lord are fantastic. And we, as we've gone on this study looking at this sermon topic, we've seen that the ways of the Lord are always right. We've seen that the ways of the Lord are full of mercy. And because of that, the ways of the Lord are something that we can take delight in. Do we take pride in the Word of God? Again, you guys know me. I like to meddle a little bit. Do we know the Bible as well as we know rules of college football? Do we know the Bible as well as we know Clemson or Carolina's schedule? Do we know the Bible as well as we know our job? Do we know the Bible as well as we know our friends? Do we take pride in it? Again, there's nothing wrong with saying, look at my beautiful kid or my beautiful grandkid. You should be proud of your kids and your grandkids. But do we ever go, look at what I found in the Bible. Look at what I discovered. Look at what God is showing me, what God is teaching me. Do we take pride in it? Do we use it to grow in our walk with Christ? Or do we use it as a weapon to prove our point? Sometimes we can use the Bible as a weapon. We're not concerned about helping people grow. We're concerned about being right. I've been there, done that many times. Again, it comes down to our attitude. Are we doing it to help people grow? I love to teach the truth of the Word of God, not because I want to pick on people or be mean, but because I want to help us grow in our walk with Christ. And if I say something from the pulpit that hurts your feelings, it's because the Spirit of God is convicting you as long as I'm preaching the truth from the Word of God. And sometimes that causes problems. Well, you're picking... No, I'm not. Because by the grace of God, my sermons are picked out months in advance. So if you happen to come the Sunday and you hear something you don't like, it's not because you're here. I love you guys, but I'm not going to preach just to you. I mean, if you're the only one person here, I would. I'd be glad to. But it's not. That's not my intention. My intention is not to call you out, to pick on you, to do this or to do that. My intention is to preach the gospel, to preach the truth of the Word of God in its entirety and in its fullness. Even the difficult passages, like we've been seeing on Wednesday nights when we're going through 1 and 2 Corinthians, there's some hard stuff in there. Like we saw when we went through Daniel and Revelation, there's some hard stuff there. Like we see on Sunday nights as we're going through Psalm, there's some hard stuff in there. And so, do we use the Word of God to help each other grow? Jehoshaphat wanted to help his people grow in the ways of the Lord, so he sent people to teach them the Word of God. He wanted to make sure that the people knew the Word so that they could follow the ways of God. We cannot follow and obey what we do not know. We cannot follow and obey what we do not know. You guys would not want me working on your car engine. I'm just going to tell you guys a little bit of a story. A friend of mine and myself decided that changing the starter in his car would not be difficult. So he gets under the car and says, "Hand me this wrench." I hand it to him. He starts screaming, and I'm like, and I look down, sparks are flying everywhere. We had no clue you had to unhook the battery first. You don't want me working on your car because I don't know how to. We can't do what we don't know. That's why it's so important for us to know the Word of God. That's why I always tell you guys this. How do you know if I'm preaching the truth if you're not in it? How do you know if I am being true to this book if you're not reading it, studying it? I don't want you to just take my word for it. I want you to know what the Word has to say, to hear it, to heed it, and to believe it, and to allow it to change and transform your life. As the leader of the people, Jehoshaphat set the example that needed to be followed when it came to the law of the Lord. Today, this falls on me. This is my number one responsibility as pastor, to preach and teach the Word. Now, this is where there's some arguments and debate sometimes. That's not your number one job. Your number one job is to take care of the people. Some are called to be pastors for equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Acts chapter 6, deacons were formed so the apostles could pray and focus on the ministry of the word. The number one role and responsibility of a pastor is to preach and teach the truth of the Word of God. And I've heard people say, "You're a good preacher, but." Huh? You do a good job preaching the gospel, preaching the Word of God, but. What? This is our foundation. Everything else comes. Should I be doing the other things? Yes. But not because I'm a pastor, because I'm a member of this church. And because I'm a Christian. We are to work together. We should delight in the ways of the Lord. And here's the other thing. Not only is it my job as pastor to teach and preach the ways of the Lord, it's also the job of every mom and dad to preach and teach the ways of the Lord to their children. We should delight so much in the ways of the Lord that we cannot help but teach the Bible to others. We should have this burning, this consuming fire. I like what Jeremiah says when he says, I want to stop. I don't want to do this anymore, but I can't because it comes like a burning fire inside of me. I got to let it out. That's the way the Bible should be to us. So as we apply all this to our life this morning, there can be no better textbook on how to follow God than the Bible. The more time we spend in the Word, the better we can know our great and awesome God and His incredible love for us. One study Bible says this, in the church today, we must honor the Bible. When God's Word is proclaimed by preachers and treasured by God's people, the church shines brightly like a city on a hill. It is my duty to preach, and it's your duty to treasure it. And when that happens, God moves. There are so many things out there that can take our focus from the Word of God. There are so many obstacles, whether it's work or life or idols or media or Facebook or this or that. There is so much out there that tries to take away our attention and take our focus. And that's why it's important that we make the Word of God a priority in our lives. We never stop growing in our walk with Christ. We never get to the point where we know all there is to know about the Bible. We never reach a point where we're like, all right, I've completed my study on the Bible. I'm good to go. It doesn't work that way. I don't care how many years you've read the Bible. There's still more to learn. I don't care how many college degrees you have. There's still more to learn about the Bible. And the one thing you learn, the more degrees you go after, the more you realize you don't know. And that's the way it should be. Just as the people of Judah needed to be taught the Word of God, so do we need to be taught the Word of God today. And that's a part of the problem with our world today. There are churches that have stopped preaching the Word of God. There are churches that have become more concerned about being user-friendly, that have become more concerned about being popular, that have become more concerned about filling their pulpits and their offering trays, that they have went away from the Word of God and began to teach and preach what tickling ears want to hear. That's the problem. The Old Testament is vital to us, for it helps us to see our need for a Savior and shows us who that Savior is. We need to teach the Old Testament. We need to teach the New Testament. We need to teach the entirety of the Bible as it is written and not water it down to fill our pews. Why is the Old Testament so important, you ask? Because without the Old Testament law, we wouldn't understand what grace is. We can't understand grace if we don't understand the law. Because when we look at the Old Testament and we see the law and we see the God who judges His people and destroys people and sends down His wrath upon His people and sends His people into captivity and all the things that happened, we understand forgiveness of Jesus on the cross. We understand grace when we understand the holiness of God. And the Old Testament helps us to see the holiness of God. When we open up the Word of God and read it, it should bring the light to our hearts and change us into the men and women that God has called us to be. Jehoshaphat was a good king who followed after God and took delight in His ways. He loved God's ways so much that he sent out people to teach it. The world around us has gone to idols. So we need to grow in the Word so that we can go and teach it to those around us. There will always be a need for us to go and grow, which that's why that is our motto as a church, go and grow. What is God saying to us today? Are we walking in the ways of the Lord and seeking after Him? Do we delight in His ways and teach them? What is God saying to us this morning? Lord, we thank You for this beautiful passage that You give to us from the Chronicle as He writes on the life of Jehoshaphat and how he followed after You. And I pray, Lord, that You would help us to follow after You with all that we are. I pray that we would hear the ways of the Lord and heed the ways of the Lord. I pray that we would seek them and walk in them. And I pray that we would send out and teach them and train the men and women in the way that You would have us to. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone here that doesn't know You, that today they would hear and understand the truth of their need for Jesus, that they would come and surrender their heart and their life to You. And I pray, Lord, that You would move as only You can. I pray that You would grow Your people and that You would grow Your church and that You would help us to go and make a difference in a world that is lost and dying to share the beautiful message of Jesus. We thank You and we love You. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen.